hope you're enjoying the nice warm weather. Some of you prefer this, and some of us don't. So, you think you're back in Singapore, except for the humidity. Okay, let's look to the Lord in prayer today. Almighty God, most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can continue our study in Thy Word. Lord, we do pray that Thou would guide and direct us today. We continue our study in the book of Genesis. Thank Thee, Father, for the many precious lessons that we have learned so far. And we ask Thee continue to lead and direct us. Grant us understanding hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We start today in chapter 26 in the book of Genesis. Chapter 26. The last chapter that we saw, we had the death of Abraham, the burial of Abraham, and then also we had the birth of Esau and Jacob. So these were the main things that were in that particular chapter. But we go on now with Isaac. So this chapter deals with the person of Isaac, and it begins with God repeating the covenant that He has made with Abraham, and now He repeats it with Isaac. But as the chapter begins, we're told there was a famine in the land. And, you know, this was not unusual. We've actually seen famines before. And really, the first famine, we're told, was in the days of Abraham. So it would seem that from now and the previous famine that was there with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, that probably about 100 years have gone by. So this is actually, if you consider that, in a sense, it's pretty good. But in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So that was the first famine that we saw mentioned there. And now we have another famine mentioned. So this is really, I could say, only the second famine that is mentioned. And the famine is there in the land when they are living. But it seems that as you got closer to the seacoast, that the famine was not as bad there. And so Isaac decided to go into that general area. And so he decides to go to, we're told, Gerar. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. It seems that he actually was planning to go further, yet that it was his plan really to go to Egypt. But that's exactly what happened in the account of the famine in Genesis chapter 12. Because there we saw when the famine came that Abraham and Sarah went to Egypt. And so in a sense, Isaac now really wants to do the same thing. But God intervened and tells him not to go to Egypt. So at this point, he only goes as far as Abimelech in the city of Gerar. Now, we have actually seen the name of Abimelech before, and that was in Genesis chapter 20. And if you look at Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 20, and now Genesis chapter 26, you'll see a lot of parallel there. Genesis chapter 12, in Egypt, Abraham said of Sarah, "She is my sister." All right, in Genesis chapter 20, same thing. She is my sister. And now when you come to Genesis chapter 26, Isaac does the same thing. He says of Rebekah, "She is my sister." So in Genesis chapter 20, Abraham deals with Abimelech. And here, in chapter 26, Isaac deals with Abimelech. Now, that means that either Abimelech was very, very old, because it seems Genesis 20 and Genesis 26, quite a few years went by, or there are two kings by the name of Abimelech. And generally, it is accepted that this was not the same Abimelech that was there earlier with Abraham, because it would have been probably at least 80 years, maybe 100 years, that have gone by. And that's why we say it would not likely be the same king. But Abimelech was a common name for the Philistine kings. It's made up of a couple parts in the Hebrew. In Hebrew, the A-B of is actually the word for father. Melek, M-E-L-E-K, Melek, is the Hebrew word for king. And then the I from Avi, that is it's a pronoun meaning my. So Avi is my father. So Abimelech, Avi Melech, my father, king, which of course is bad English, so you have to supply the word is. My father is king. Alright? So this is actually suggested that just as in the case of Pharaoh was not a name of a person, but rather was a title. So you have Pharaoh this, you have Pharaoh that, Pharaoh Ramses, Pharaoh Necho, same as you have different kings we have today, or different queens. You know, you may have Queen Victoria, you may have Queen Elizabeth. You know, so we have different queens. So it's suggested that Abimelech may not have been his proper name, but that was simply a title. My father is king, and now I'm king. Alright? So, but the scripture does use that from Abimelech, my father is king. So, a common name. So, a different king, same name, or at least the same designation, Abimelech. So, here we see then that Isaac, because of the famine in the land, goes to the area of the Philistines. Remember, again, this is present-day Gaza, because the Gaza Strip is often in the news, all right? So that we're aware of that. This is the area of the Philistines, and the Gaza Strip, as we see it with the Palestinians, is, of course, the Philistine territory. So he has gone there, and now the Lord appears to Isaac in verse 2. And the Lord appears unto him. And as far as the biblical record is concerned, this is only the second time that we see the Lord appearing to Isaac. The first time that we see Isaac having any kind of an experience with the Lord is on Mount Moriah, when God had initially told Abraham, Abraham, take your son, your only one, and go to a mountain that I will show you and offer him there for a burnt offering. And so you remember chapter 22, Abraham and Isaac set out, and Isaac looks around and says, Dad, you know, we got everything except the lamb. Where is it? God himself will provide a lamb. And of course a picture there of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then as they are on the mountain, and Abraham is ready to kill Isaac, the voice comes, Abraham, Abraham! And yes, Lord, don't kill your son. Now I know that you really love me. But that was the first time that Isaac himself had heard the voice of the Lord. And from there to now, we have no other biblical indication that the Lord spoke to Isaac. Now, it doesn't mean that he didn't speak to him, all right? But just as far as the Bible is concerned, this is the first time that God appeared to Isaac since he was on Mount Moriah with his father Abraham. Now, interestingly, the Lord had spoken to Rebekah, all right? So he had spoken to his wife, because in the previous chapter, 25, verse 22, Well, let me begin to read at verse 21. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So God had spoken to Rebekah, but we don't have any record of God speaking to Isaac before this. So he speaks now and says, don't go to Egypt. Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. And that's why I have mentioned earlier already that Isaac had planned not just to go to the Philistine area, to Gerar, but actually to go beyond that, to go to Egypt. And so he says, don't go to Egypt, dwell in the land that I will tell you of. And then in verses 3, 4, he repeats the covenant that he had made with Abraham. Sojourn in this land, says the Lord, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. So unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Notice God says again to Isaac, I will give thee all these countries. So there is a promise of land. Remember, always been a threefold promise, threefold covenant. The promise of land, the promise of descendants, and the promise of a coming Messiah. So you always have these three. And these three are now again repeated here. So here in verse 3, I will give all these countries. Alright, so there's the promise of land. And then he says, I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. What I said to Abraham, I will do. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. So there is the promise of descendants. Alright, so that again is repeated. And will give unto thy seed all these countries. Alright, there is again the promise of land. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. There is the promise of the Messiah. And the wording is very similar to what we saw earlier in Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses. So God repeats. He gave the covenant originally with Abraham in Genesis 12. He repeated it several times, chapter 15, chapter 17, where he gave the sign of the covenant as well, in circumcision. And now here in chapter 26, he repeats the whole thing to Isaac. Alright? So the promise of land, descendants, the Messiah would descend from him. But then there's another thought in here as well, and that is new, and that is in verse 5, where he says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So God said that he would do these things because of Abraham's faithfulness and obedience. So it comes back to Abraham. Abraham, the father of the faithful. God says, I will do it because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge. Interesting, if you look at it, he says, God says, Abraham kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. But remember, they were not written at this point, because they're not written till you come to the book of Exodus. Because the Ten Commandments are not given to Exodus chapter 20. So we still have a long time to go, because you still have the rest of the book of Genesis to go, and then some 400 years in the land of Egypt. Then they leave Egypt, and that's when God gives the Ten Commandments. So it's going to be well over 450 years or so after this that God actually gives the commandments. And yet he already says that Abraham has kept my commandments, my statutes, my laws. So because remember, the law, as it was given to Moses, was written on tables of stone. But that law is also written on the heart. All right, and if you go to Romans chapter 2, we see the law of God written on the heart, and that is conscience. So God had already given his law in the hearts of men, in conscience. So Abraham knew what was right, Abraham knew what was wrong, even though he had not yet received the written Ten Commandments. And of course, he died long before that, and Isaac died long before that, and Jacob died long before that. But here's the emphasis: Abraham obeyed my voice. And it is not clearly stated here, but you can almost picture in your mind that implication that is there. I do this because Abraham obeyed my voice. What about you? Isaac, you also, better be faithful and obedient. So there is here then an unspoken plea for Isaac to be faithful and obedient to the Lord. And that means by implication also then that we ought to be faithful and obedient as well. So God speaks here about Abraham, but what it says about Abraham obviously applies also to Isaac. It will apply to Jacob. It applies to us. So you and I also are to be faithful and obedient to the Lord. So this is how this chapter then begins. Then Isaac leaves the area where he is, and he goes to Gerar because of the famine that is in the land. And God comes to him now and repeats the covenant that he had earlier made with Abraham and now makes with Isaac. It is then, as we come to verses 6 through 11, that Isaac says that Rebekah is his sister. So what Abraham did in Genesis chapter 12 in Egypt, and what Abraham did in Genesis 20 in Gerar, Isaac now does in Genesis 26 in Gerar. He calls his wife his sister. And he did so for the same reason that Abraham did it. He was afraid to be killed. So verse 6, Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the man of the place asked him of his wife. Wow, you got a pretty girl here. She would have been 60, probably. All right. Not quite as old as Sarah, but still good age, 60 or so. And, she was fair to look upon. In other words, even at that age, she attracted the local men. All right, therefore, he said, she is my sister. He feared to say she is my wife, lest that he, the man of the place, should kill me for Rebecca, because she was fair to look upon. So he was afraid to be killed. If that's his wife, then let's kill him, and then she no longer has a husband, so we can marry her. All right, that's how he was thinking. But Abraham thought the exact same thing. We don't know if Abraham ever told Isaac, this is what I did in Egypt and this is what I did in Gerar. Don't you do the same thing that I did? We don't know because the Bible is silent. But you wonder if he knew about this. But anyway, he claims she is my sister, which of course is not true. Now, when they had been in Gerar for some time, the truth was found out. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, but not told how long, it just says a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. All right, now a couple of things that we should note here. First of all, it says that Abimelech looked out at a window. All right, that means he would have lived in some kind of a building that had a window. All right, so it would seem that whether it was his house or whether it was a palace, or what it would be, that it was a proper building that Abimelech lived in. But it would seem that Isaac at this point is still living in a tent. Alright? So, whether it was a two-story building or not, again, you know, we don't know. But it looks like he is kind of looking down, and as he looks down, you know, out of the window, that he saw Isaac and Rebecca sporting. They were not playing footy. I can assure you that. Alright? So, what does sporting mean? Alright, it's actually a very interesting word. You know, Isaac means laughter. Alright? As I think you know that, we talked about that before. And this verb, sporting, comes actually from the same root as the word Isaac. Alright? Without the I, Sadak. Alright? Which means to laugh. So, the sporting comes from a root meaning to laugh. Alright? And it has the idea of toying with or playing with. If you have a Bible that has comments and notes in there, you know, it may say something like caressing. It may even say making love. These are some of the other words that have been expressed here. It is used also within the Hebrew context, the meaning of the Hebrew word, of the conjugal caresses. So whatever the exact meaning of it is obviously that as Abimelech sees this, he says, hey, this is not what brother and sister do together. It's obvious that they were husband and wife. Alright? So that's exactly, you know, sporting means here. It's a nice word, sporting. Making love, caressing each other, kissing. We don't know because there's not enough indication there. But it's obviously something that would only be done between husband and wife. Alright? So it becomes as a result then clear to Abimelech that Isaac and Rebekah are not brother and sister, but they are married to each other. Alright? So that it becomes very clear as a result. Well, Abimelech confronts Isaac with the fact. Alright? Verse 9, Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife. I saw you. I looked out of my window and I saw the two of you. And I know that you're not brother and sister. She is your wife. You know. And why did you say she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. So Isaac had to admit what he had done. Why he had done it. Abimelech then actually rebukes Isaac. You see that in verse 10. Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might likely have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. So, it's interesting because what he is implying is that they have a high standard of ethics. If she is your wife, we wouldn't touch her. But if these things just choose your sister, you know, somebody might have taken her. You know, so why didn't you tell the truth in the first place? You know, you think you're so wonderful, but, you know, he had really, in a sense, a higher standard than what you have. And then, instead of taking vengeance on Isaac for his deception, he pronounces actually a potential capital punishment, or penalty, for any of his subjects who harmed either Isaac or Rebecca, because in verse 11, Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. So he doesn't rebuke Isaac any further. He's already rebuked him, and then he warns his own people, don't you touch this man. Don't you touch his wife. If you do, all right, you shall surely be put to death. So this is quite serious. So Abimelech, in a sense, is very kind here in his dealings with Isaac. Well, we see that then Isaac is found out. It's not his sister, it's his wife. And yet, as he is there in Gerar, God blesses Isaac. All right? So Isaac prospers in Gerar, verses 12 to 16. And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. So Isaac seems to have learned his lesson well, the lesson of trusting God through the experience. So, you know, I should not have done that. I should have been honest. I should have said, she is my sister, my wife, rather than saying, she is my sister. So as he is there, he stays in Gerar. The Lord blessed him. It appears that he acquired some land, whether he bought it or whether he leased it. Again, we're not told. But at least he does start to raise some crops because he sowed in that land. And this is really, you know, probably the first reference to any sowing of seed and growing of crops. Alright? So he does this, and you can see that it was very successful because he received 100-fold. Remember Jesus later on in the gospel, he said, you know, a sower went out to sow, and he told the parable of the sower, or some people call it the parable of the soils, you know, because the seed fell on different kinds of soil. But the seed that fell into the good soil, the good ground, produced some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So the 100-fold is an abundance of crops. And this is now how God blessed Isaac with abundant crops. It brought forth 100-fold. So here we see Isaac, all right? We know that he inherited a lot from his father. Abraham was a very wealthy man, many servants. Now here, Isaac is in Gerar. He has many herds. He has many flocks. Now he's beginning to grow things. The Lord is blessing that also with 100-fold. So what is happening now, verse 13, the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. So he is now becoming richer and richer, you know, because God keeps blessing him. So more herds, more flocks, more produce growing there, and he is now actually getting to be more wealthy than the Philistines in whose land he is. Verse 14, he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. So he had many servants. So that's certainly an indication he is a very, very wealthy man, just as Abraham was a very wealthy man. But as a result, the Philistines envied him. So the Philistines, full of envy, here's this stranger, you know, this outsider that has come to our land. First of all, he lied to us. He said, you know, she's my sister, and really, Rebecca was his wife. And now, look, he's becoming richer than we are. He's got more flocks than we have. He's got more herds than we have. And he grows some crops. And he's got more than what we have. So they're becoming filled with envy. And they then begin to retaliate against him. All right, and this is not unusual to see that, because notice what they did in verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the day of Abraham, his father, it very clear. These were the wells that had been dug by Abraham's servants. The Philistines have stopped them and filled them with earth. So the Philistines had taken, they would know where these wells were, and they had taken these wells and they'd filled them up with ground, soil. They fill them up, so they fill them, it says, with earth. So, you know, that means there was no longer a well there that they could use. But they did that out of envy. So, and then also Abimelech himself, he kind of says, hey, you'd better go. So Abimelech said unto Isaac in verse 16, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. So Abimelech too says, you'd better go. Mightier than we. If it came to warfare, Isaac probably could have defeated them. But Isaac doesn't argue with him. You know, he could definitely have argued with them. Because if you go back to Genesis chapter 20 and verse 25, chapter 21 and verse 25. Not 21, 25. God had actually given the land and to Abimelech. It should be chapter 2015. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleases thee. So God had, or Abimelech had told Abraham, you can live here. In my land before you, dwell where it pleases you. So Isaac could have said, hey, you know, your father, the king, probably father, has given permission to my father to live here, to dig wells here, you know, but Isaac did not, you know, get involved in an argument here. So, you know, we see then that what's happening now, Isaac is there, he's become very wealthy, the people realize it, problems developing because of the wells, the Philistines fill them up with earth, Abimelech himself, you know, also suggests, why don't you leave? So, you know, the wells belong to Abraham by right of construction. Isaac could have stayed there, but he did not do so. He realized that if he would stay there, it would alienate the Philistines even more than that they were alienated already. They were already very upset with Isaac and, you know, being so rich. And as a result, then he leaves the city and moves to the valley of Gerar. So if you go to the next section, Isaac builds wells in Gerar, verses 17 to 22. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelled there. So he goes from the city to the valley. Now, I tried to find out what kind of a distance is there. You know, how far did he remove? And none of the sources I checked gave me any specific, you know, kilometers, how far he was. But we can make an educated guess. You know, it was not extremely far. It wouldn't have been hundreds of kilometers. But it was not a couple hundred meters either. You know, it's not that he just moved just a little way. So probably at least 10, maybe more likely 15 or 20 kilometers away. And he moved that far because he figured, okay, this land, I'm now far enough away from the city, I should be all right here. And so Isaac then embarks on a program of reopening the wells that Abraham had dug, but that the Philistines plug up. All right, verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. So they actually gave names to these different wells. So that if somebody talks about this well, they would immediately know, oh, you're referring to this, or to that well. They would immediately know that. So he gave the same name. And this giving them the same names would also then emphasize, in a sense, his right to these wells. Because if he gave them a new name, it'd be something new. But the people would know, this is the name that Abraham gave to this well. Now Isaac says, this well, that well used to belong to his father. So he had the right to be there. So that's why he did that. He emphasized his right to the well by way of inheritance. And so they begin to dig. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. So we see several wells there. Verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. In other words, it's a spring. So water came out quite abundantly. A well of living water. But as soon as it was there, verse 20, the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. So here, you know, they had gone some distance away from the city. They dig a well. Isaac thought he was far enough, but, you know, the herdsmen of Gerar, they still say, no, no, this is ours. You know, it's still in our territory. And so he called the name of the well Esek, E-S-E-K, because they strove with him. Translation of Esek, the well Esek would be quarrel well, quarreling. So they quarreled over that well. So the next well they built was also claimed by the Philistines. Verse 21, and they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. Well, that means hatred. So you have the quarrel well, you have the hatred well. Alright? And he removed from them. So, you know, he keeps going further and further away from Gerar. And so the next well now, they move from thence and dig another well. And for that, they strove not. So now he's getting far enough away that it is no longer a problem. They're no longer arguing about that. And as a result then, he calls the name of it Rehoboth. Rehoboth. Now, that's a very good name. One of our BP churches in Singapore, you know, uses the name Rehoboth. Alright? And it's a good name. It has the idea of generous space, spaciousness, ample room. So it could be translated as the well of ample room or the well of spaciousness. So Rehoboth. Alright? For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So the Lord has blessed, you know, getting further and further away from Abimelech. By the way, Abimelech we do see coming back again in verse 26. We will not look at that today, but we'll see that next week. So, okay. And then we're coming now to Isaac at Beersheba, verses 23 through 25. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Now, we have seen Beersheba before also in Genesis 21. Genesis 21, beginning about verse 30, verse 31. And we have an agreement or a covenant between Abimelech on the one hand and Abraham on the other hand, Abimelech said to Abraham, "But seeing these seven ewe lambs, which thou hast set by themselves," and he said, "For these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they be a witness unto me that I have digged this well." Wherefore he called that place Beersheba. All right, well of the oath, or well of the seven, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. And Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain, Phicol, by the way, could also be a title rather than the guy's actual name. We'll see him again in chapter 26. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. But we see Beersheba then in chapter 21. And now this is where Isaac goes. He went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him in the same night. So God again graciously meets with Isaac and assures him once again that he would bless him and multiply him. Verse 24, the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." All right, I will bless you, multiply your seed. So again, many descendants are promised. And it is there then that Isaac built an altar of his own. And he built an altar there. And apparently, from the biblical accounts that we have, this would seem to be the only altar that Isaac built. All right? Not saying that he wasn't worshiping God, but that's the only account we have of Isaac building an altar. And he worshiped the Lord. We're told he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Isaac's servants dig the well. So here again, Isaac is now at Beersheba. So he settles there. You know, he builds an altar for the Lord. He worships the Lord there. He pitched his tent there. So this is where he is now planning to stay, the same place that his father Isaac had, father Abraham had stayed, and there also they dug a well. Let's stop here for today, and the next week we can finish this chapter, because what we see now is that Abimelech realizes, okay, you know, Isaac is gone, but we better make sure that we stay good friends with him, because he is very powerful, probably more powerful than I am. And so he makes a covenant, you know, so we see the next covenant between Isaac and Abimelech that we'll look at next week. So let us close in prayer then. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for being able to study here this portion in thy word. Father, as we look at Abraham and Isaac, and Lord, we are reminded again of thy faithfulness. Lord, also that Abraham was faithful and obedient. How Isaac too was faithful and obedient. And Lord, may we also be faithful in our service for thee and our relationship with thee. May we also obey thy word. And so, Father, help us to learn from these men here, that we may learn how to live a godly life. Father, bless us now in the worship service to follow. Continue to speak to us and bless us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.